Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it year after year. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout.
Hey, The Bird Show.
What day is it?
It's Friday.
Thank God for that.
Hey, you ready for this weekend?
Yeah, I feel like this weekend has come at the worst possible time.
Okay, and when would that be?
When would that be?
Does not compute, does not compute.
I'm sorry, it's been a long week.
You ready to rock?
Are you ready to rock?
Ready to rock, boss.
Did you fix that transmitter?
Ready to transmit.
Stand by to transmit.
Booyah! We're transmitting!
Showtime!
I'm like a cat. I get startled easily. Sorry about that.
That was a little scary, honestly.
Jump scare.
I do. Like, any little thing that I'm not, like, properly prepared for will throw me off. Which, by the way, Tommy, you haven't tried scaring me in a while.
I've been saving, I've been saving up.
Yeah, okay.
I've been taking it out on Amber.
You have been. I feel like every time I go back there, it's a new scare jump from you.
Well, she's the easiest target.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about starting a website called Scaring Amber.
Oh.
And just having the scares of Amber up there.
So Mo is out today because he is in Ecuador with his lady. So keep your fingers crossed that he will be here on Monday and that he didn't get gored by a bull, because apparently they're running with bulls tomorrow.
That story terrified me. Picturing him with gout having to run from four bulls.
That's wild.
All to impress his lady's family. Yeah. Wild.
And no, Bert doesn't have off today. He just decided to sleep in.
I walked in and normally he's here before me. It's usually Bert, me, and then everyone else kind of trickles in. And I was like, oh, he's probably just in the bathroom. And then like minutes went by and I was like, is he out today? What's going on?
I love those texts I get at like 5:59 with all capital letters from Bert. Because then I know what happened.
Yeah. So he will be here when he gets here. He lives 3 minutes from the station. It typically takes him a little bit to get going in the morning, and we like to make bets on the over-under of when he's going to show, but I'm hoping he'll be here sometime within the 6 o'clock hour. So, fingers crossed. All right, so Jackson, you're kicking off the show today. Are you stupid for paying for something that is completely unnecessary?
Yeah, I recently make a lot of dumb purchases, so saying completely unnecessary is a little bit redundant, honestly. Instagram ads get me a lot. Mm. You know, I get swindled a lot online. But this most recent purchase that I made the other day, I'm like severely questioning. And it's because it's okay, let me just explain. Let me ask you guys a question. How did you figure out what your signature looks like?
What my signature looks like?
Yes. When you go to sign something, whether it's a P1 listener comes up to you and wants you to sign something, or you're signing a legal document, how did you figure out how to sign your name?
That's so flattering. You think we could ask for autographs?
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I was trying to hype you up. You didn't have to say that.
So signature, autograph, two completely different things.
Really? So you have two separate ones?
Yeah. So if I'm signing something for a listener, like we just sent a thank you card to a listener, or we do Christmas cards, I like write out Kristen and that's it. I don't like that's the quote unquote autograph or whatever. Now my signature is something different. And it's just kind of, it's morphed over the years, but it's like, it's a big K squiggle, another big K squiggle, and then the M, and then a line out.
Okay. Okay. And how did you think of like stylistically doing that? This is all going to make sense in a second.
Okay. I never did. I just like, because it used to be KRK, but then I got married. So then it became KKM.
Okay.
And it's always just kind of remained the same. Just the letter. But as far as like, I bet I did practice back in the day, like when I started adulting and I needed to sign more things, and like before you like get your first house and you have to sign like a bajillion papers, I probably finessed it, and then that's just what it became. I'm also really good at signing my dad's name.
Yeah, you don't choose the signature. The signature chooses you, and it's basically how good is your handwriting and how good is your cursive handwriting, because for me, I don't have either good handwriting. So when second grade, when they give you that book of cursive and they're like, okay, this is how you do an A, this is how you do a B, this is how you do a Y, I was like, yep, that's my signature. Like, I'm just, that's all I know how to do, because I don't have any style, because my handwriting's already bad. So if I just stick to the basics, it's going to look like I'm trying to do some kind of swirly girly thing. But yeah, mine's just like what it told me to do in like second and third grade.
So when you sign something, you sign out your full name.
I do A, and then I do the government issued B, you know, B, B, and then the same Y. And then I'll do like a little, like, you know, some feminine swirl on the Y, give it a little bit of flair depending on what I'm signing.
That's the stylistic flair that I'm talking about there. Uh-huh. Everyone has like a unique kind of moniker that is associated with their signature when they sign something. And there's always that like uniqueness to it. And I hate mine. And so I paid for a service for someone to create several different designs.
No, you did
of
not.
A signature of my own name. And then
you know how before we got on air we were talking about how your corporate bro-ness comes out because you used to work in the corporate world?
Uh-huh.
I feel like this is a glitch in your corporate bro micro trip that they put in your brain. When you used to work for whatever corporate man back in the day, and they put that little chip in your brain, this is just it coming out, being like, we have to have a good signature. We have to circle back. We have to put a pin in it.
I don't think it's that crazy, but then when I say it out loud, I'm like, this is the craziest thing ever, because I think it's so dumb that I paid for this. But like, they literally assign you to like a calligraphy person, and you check off what stylistically you like. They give you a ton of examples, and you pick like your favorite five.
There's a bunch of ways you can do a J.
Right. And then they send you, they create it, and they send you like 10 different examples of what your signature specifically looks like in that style. And then you pick the one that you like, and then they give you like second grade handwriting homework, or like
you trace lines.
Oh, over and over again until you get it down, and then boom, new signature.
Well, bottom line, do you like your new signature?
Well, I haven't gotten it yet. Do you think I got scammed?
Oh, you haven't got, how long has it been?
4 days.
How long does it take to come up with a signature?
Well, you do have a long name. Maybe it's like a day per letter.
You got the J.
Jackson Kim, you think is a long name?
I mean, like, my name's Abby, so anything longer than four letters, I'm like, that's a big name.
Well, you can shorten and get right to the point and just write L-O-S-E-R.
I mean, so it's just because if you see like what my say, it's my, just my name in cursive, and it bugs me every time I do it. And I'm like, gosh, there needs to be something just like different, better, cooler about this. But then I feel terrible every time I do it. So
see, my name has always been so long, like Kristen Klingjern.
That's a long name.
So that's why I never, like, the idea of writing out each individual letter, that was never an option with the signature. It's a K and a, and then a R and a, and then a K and a, and that's it.
Well, just be mad. Just be glad you didn't marry Kevin Klein, because that would have been one too many.
Yeah, no. Absolutely not. You don't know how many times I've heard that joke. It was every time I tell people my name when I was younger, it was like, what's your middle name? And I'm like, my parents aren't idiots. Like, come on now.
Oh, I don't know. You are from Kentucky. Yeah. Could have gone either way.
Okay, no, but right. Still, they're better than that. All right, so you haven't got it yet, so you don't know if you like it or not.
No, well, I assume that I'm going to like at least one of them, but then I'm like nervous because I'm like, now I have to commit to one because this is going to be my signature forever now. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm hoping that one of them is really just going to stand out to me and I'm going to like it.
And that's what okay.
I spend money on this.
How much, Jackson? How much money does it cost for somebody to create your signature?
$55.
What? That's like a month at the Burt Show.
Oh, jeez.
You're kidding me?
I'm not.
Okay. So this is what we're going to do. You're gonna email everybody today and be like, can you give me three options for my new signature? We're going to do it for free. You're going to get the one that you pay for. And then you're going to decide which one you like best.
Right. I actually feel like I could probably do it better and for cheaper than $55. Just buy me a candy bar in the break room.
Yes. Deal.
So send the email today. Be like, okay, can everybody please just give me a piece of paper, write out my signature, three versions. Then hopefully you didn't get scammed and you get your $55 signature that you paid for, and then you decide which one it's going to be.
You guys are going to be so impressed. It's at least a $60 signature.
Okay.
Hey, the Birch.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
There's a new movie out that all the girlies are saying you have to go and see because it has a 91% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Me and Rebecca yesterday bought our tickets to a little matinee to go see the new A24 movie Materialist. Pedro Pascal and Chris Evans. As we're putting it, it's challengers, but for straight people. It's a love triangle that we can't get over. So basically, the plot of this movie is that Dakota Johnson's character, her name is Lucy, and she's a matchmaker in New York City. And basically, she is put between this moral dilemma between having to go with her brain, which is going with hot zaddy Pedro Pascal, who's rich, or her broke boyfriend, who's played by Chris Evans. And she has to decide, what does she want her life to look like? Does she go with her heart, or does she go with her head? It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, it was fine. Abby didn't like it because it's broke boy propaganda, as I've seen it be called.
It's broke boyfriend propaganda is how we felt about it.
Oh, because like
the PR team for loser boyfriends, I think, funded this film.
But I don't really think you can call Chris Evans will never be under the category loser boyfriend because he is aesthetically fine.
So fine. But I think that's my point is this whole movie was like, yes, you can look over every red flag as long as your boyfriend is Chris Evans. That was the point of the film, I feel like.
It was so funny that they are trying to accentuate how broke of a boy Chris Evans is in this movie with his perfect, like,
perfect
white
hair.
Teeth. That is not a broke boy. That is a boy with perfect dental insurance.
But they had to cast it that way because if you did have somebody that not only was broke, but looked broke, mm-hmm. you would have nobody rooting for the broke boy.
No, it's true. It's true. And Celine Song, who directed this movie, I mean, she was up for the Oscar for Past Lives, which I never saw. This movie, it just felt like, you know, there's elevated horror movies. This felt like an elevated Hallmark movie.
Yeah. It was a $20 million Hallmark movie because that was the budget. So far, it's already made about $15 million in the box office and then a little bit more with some of the previews that came out. So it's doing incredibly successful numbers and everybody online has been like, this is an insane. This movie is incredible. This is like up here with this movie and that movie and that movie. And so I walked in with these high expectations being like, oh my God, like Dakota Johnson and Chris Evans and Pedro Pascal, how could it not be amazing? And I remember turning to Rebecca and being like, what did we just watch?
Really? You did not like it that much?
It was so boring. It was so boring to the point where the people next to Rebecca started playing their TikTok and I thought, oh, they're going to turn down the volume surely. And no, they apparently were so bored that they just kept playing their TikTok on full blast.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I would say I liked it better than Abby. I think it's totally worth going to see. It's honestly worth going to see because there is one plot point in this movie that I think is so funny and ridiculous. It's like Chekhov's cosmetic surgery. If you know what Chekhov's gun is,
yes,
Chekhov's cosmetic surgery. This one plot point, I can't share what it is because you have to go see it yourself, but I think it kind of makes the movie worth it.
It is, dare I say, delightfully random.
Yes.
It's just the kind of plot point that I know Dakota Johnson is probably making fun of behind the scenes because Dakota Johnson has that dry sense of humor where it just feels like she's so much cooler than everybody else. And that plot point specifically that you're teasing is... Oh, I'm shocked that they put it in there and that they played it off so seriously because it's such an unserious plot point that they really just dig their heels into as like a serious movie point.
It's an elevated Hallmark movie.
It's an elevated Hallmark movie, but you know, go see it if you want to see Chris Evans cosplay being poor. All right, Justin Baldoni got a win in his case against Blake Lively, and it's got everything to do with Taylor Swift's text messages. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Hey, The Burt Show.
I knew something must have been wrong this morning as I'm lying in bed, and I'm like, man, I feel like I got great sleep. Great sleep and me are generally not the same thing. So I look at my watch, and it's 5:53.
Oof.
7 minutes before we go on the show.
Surprise!
Oh, I hate waking up that way. Shock, right? I don't know what's going on with my phone, but it says that the alarm is going off, but it's not making any sound.
So I don't know. My phone's been acting wonky because I didn't realize how many updates I had missed. And so my husband, because I couldn't get certain apps to open, is because my phone was so outdated. And all this stuff was set up that it was supposed to do it on its own when I was connected to Wi-Fi, when I was plugged in. And then we did all these updates, and now my phone acts like it has no idea what it's doing.
Okay. All right. I can't figure it out either. All right. So you guys are going to get me at a perfect time if we are playing a game right now.
We are.
Because my mind is at 9%. 9%. So I have no pressure on me whatsoever right now.
This
Rebecca.
Is an upgrade from the usual 8%. Yeah. So.
Some would say that. Yeah. What's up?
I'm taking over a second Tommy trivia today because I feel like I've proven at this point that me and Tommy are like kind of evenly matched when it comes to movies. So today marks the summer solstice for 2025, officially making it
summer.
That, of course, is a soundbite from the cinematic achievement.
High School Musical 2.
High School Musical 2. The ultimate summer movie.
I am getting too old for summer, and I'll tell you why. If you haven't experienced a summer in the South, it's just different. I remember being a kid. Now, I grew up in Southern California, so, you know, the weather didn't change all that much. But there was something very special about it changing a summer. I'm just getting so old now where I'm just one of those people that's hot all the time in Georgia heat. And I can't escape it. And it's not like it's 110 degrees now and it was 78 a few years ago. It's pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, like, me embracing the heat now is worse than it used to be.
It's not the heat that'll get you. It's the humidity.
Yeah,
it's your wet heat.
I'm like a lizard. I like it. My hair just looks like an abomination, but that's fine. Okay, so I'm going to read IMDb descriptions for movies that all have to do with...
It's on vacation.
What time's it?
And my time goes out. Scream and shout.
Thank you.
Oh, you guys are in your element right now.
I love that movie. This was a millennial party that we were not invited to.
Right? Well, we're sleeping right through it.
Yeah. Okay, these movies could be set in summer. They could be surrounding summer. They could be just hot as hell.
Okay.
You'll scream your name to ring in.
Okay.
Are you ready to play?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. 2009. After being dumped by the girl he believes to be his soulmate, hopeless romantic Tom Hansen.
Abby. Yes. 500 Days of Summer.
That's correct.
Oh, God, how did I not get that? It's like one of my favorite rom-coms.
It's because you're working at 9%.
That's what I'm blaming on you.
What's the big dance number in that movie?
The big dance number?
Yeah.
When I want you.
Hall & Oates.
Yeah, okay. I forgot what the title was. Okay, 1997. Four young friends bound by a tragic accident are reunited when they find themselves being stalked.
Abby, Kristen, I know what you did last summer.
Dang
yes.
You know what? Something's going on between the two of them.
Have you guys seen the new trailer for the new one?
I know. I saw Jennifer Love Hewitt is making a reprise.
It looks good.
That's exciting. Okay, 2019. A couple travels to Northern Europe to visit a rural hometown's fabled Swedish festival. What begins as an idyllic retreat quickly devolves into an increasingly violent and bizarre competition at the hands of a pagan cult.
I think I know what it is.
High School Musical.
You got it.
Is Will Ferrell in it?
This is starring Florence Pugh.
Abby, Midsommar.
It's Midsommar.
I just picture, if you've ever seen that movie, picture him Will Ferrell in it. It's hilarious.
I thought Hayden might have shown you that one. It's such an art house movie. Okay, the summer movies are over. There's no more summer in the title.
Ugh.
1975.
Ooh.
A massive killer shark unleashed.
Jaws! Bert! Jaws! Birchaws.
I'm going to give it to you.
9%.
You know what? I'm gonna let you have it because I think you need it.
Thank you for your mercy.
Okay. 2008. Donna, an independent hotelier, is preparing for her daughter's wedding.
Abby, Mamma Mia.
That is true. Oh. Correct. Wow, you're killing it.
Yeah, congrats. This is why you're on this earth.
This was my purpose solely. After this, I'm done.
Okay, 1987. Spending the summer at...
Abby, Greece.
No. Spending the summer at a Catskills resort.
Kristen, Dirty Dancing.
That is it.
Yes! Dirty Dancing. Finally on the board. Jesus.
I'll give you that one.
Okay.
Because it was the right answer and all.
Thank you. You're so kind.
2004. Henry Roth is a man afraid of commitment until he meets the beautiful Lucy. They hit it off, and Henry thinks he's finally found the girl of his dreams until discovering she has short-term memory loss.
That's the Drew Barrymore, Adam Sandler movie that is called...
Kristen?
I'm gonna let Kristen finish it.
50 okay. First Dates.
Yep. That's it.
Teamwork.
I'm just polite that way.
It's ironic you could not remember the name of the movie based on the movie.
Okay, I have a couple left. 2010, a rebellious girl is sent to a southern beach town for the summer to stay with her father. Through their mutual
Abby,
love...
Yep. The last song?
Yes.
Whoa. Is that the Miley Cyrus one?
Yeah. Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth.
When they fell in love in real life and on screen.
Based on a book
they
by...
They got divorced. Nicholas Sparks.
Correct.
2017, devoted lifeguard Mitch Buchanan butts heads with a brash new recruit as they uncover a criminal plot that threatens the future.
Abby, the Baywatch remake?
Yes.
That's the premise of Baywatch?
That's the premise of Baywatch. The Rock and Zac Efron.
Please give us one more so we could stop the bleeding.
This is the final one. 2008. Devastated, Peter takes a Hawaiian vacation in order to deal with a recent breakup with his TV
Abby,
star.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yes, that's it.
Dang it. Wow. She is a savant.
All right, looks like Kristen and I won that one.
I got him.
Well done, girl. Well done. And the spray tan looks really good, by the way.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I got a new self-tanner, and I'm liking the way it looks so much more than the other ones.
So this is not the one that...
This is not hate crime. And you're going to stay this shade for the remainder of the show, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
You're not progressively going to get tanner and tanner and tanner, are you?
I think we're going to stop at this nice golden glow rather than pivot into someone take that Facebook video down of Abby.
Got it. Good stuff.
Hey, The Burt Show.
And so we put a conclusion to Kristen's problem with me having my bike in the studio for months and months and months. I came and I got it this weekend. It's back in its proper home. You will not, your feng shui will not be off anymore in this studio.
Thank you. Thank you, Bert.
I rushed to it, man.
Yeah.
This might be more for guys than it is for women, you know, because do you guys do this to your men? Or in your case, your friends that are guys? Abby.
Thanks.
Thanks
for explaining that one.
where you will ask your man a random question, and he's like, what are you even talking about? But in your head, you have been thinking about something and forgot that you haven't brought him into it and blurt out a question, or you ask him, so what do you think? And he's like, what are you even talking about? And she's like, oh, God, yeah, I was thinking about something. Have you done that?
I haven't done that specific example, but I know I can ask him what he's thinking about, and he'll be like, nothing, and I know I got like a bajillion things going on in my head.
Yeah, and this isn't even a, what are you thinking about? It's like, you're like asking in a conversation that you're having in your head, but you forget that the other person hasn't been in it, okay? This is, for guys, this is how a woman's mind works. Like Kristen is saying, it's constantly going and going and going. And Wanda Sykes explained it great the other day.
That's all women do is think, always thinking. Sometimes you can't even sleep because you won't shut the hell up. You in the bed and your mind is just racing about nothing, just...
I need to talk to her tomorrow because I didn't like the way she spoke to me today. And I'm not going to have this uncomfortable thing going on between us. Did I lock the door? I should have bought those shoes. Where's my high school yearbook? Ooh, what you going to have for lunch tomorrow? I don't know. Why you think about lunch? You need to have a good breakfast. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start every morning with a good breakfast. Maybe I'll start that low-carb diet. That seems to be working for a lot of people. What was my
my third grade English teacher's name? What was her name? Miss Jones, Miss Jenkins. Ooh, it's late. I need to be asleep. What the hell am I doing up? I don't know. Let me think about it.
Is this accurate?
Oh, mine's constantly running. Yeah. Especially at the end of the day when you sit there and you're rehashing what got done, what didn't get done. My favorite is when you sit there and you do the... Because you remember something you did forever ago that was like hella embarrassing. And you like you punish yourself all over again. I do that all the time and I don't know why.
Same here. I'll look back on something I said. I'm like, I could have worded that better or I could have smiled a little bit more when I said that. It does feel like you have 15 tabs open in your brain. Like if I look at my computer right now, I feel like it's an accurate description of my mind. You got your work up, you got your podcast up, you got Netflix up, you got the sale on DolceVita.com up. Like it's everything.
Those are good shoes, by the way.
They are great shoes.
Yeah, I did it again the other day, and I was laying there, and I was thinking back. I don't know why. I don't understand how the mind works, but I did a Katy Perry interview, like, years ago that I wasn't very proud of, and, like, our bigwig was there, and I literally was like, oh, that was such a bad interview. Why? It came up out of absolutely nowhere, and I needed to, like, punish myself all over again for my crappy questions. I have no idea.
I don't know what happened, but it was definitely Katy Perry's fault.
No.
Yeah, for sure. We'd all back you on that.
Yeah.
Are there times where you guys just wake up super nervous?
Not nervous, but sometimes I'll wake up with a sense of impending doom. I don't know if that's the same thing.
I don't think it's what I was looking for, but okay. All right.
Welcome to 2025.
You win.
Everything's on fire.
I woke up and I was like, I don't want to go outside today.
All right, this should be a really exciting time for Katie's family here because she got a cousin on the hottest, hottest reality TV show in the country right now. Everybody should be glued to the TV, watching what's going on, celebrating your cousin, but that's not the way it's going down.
No. First of all, the family did not like that my cousin joined Love Island USA. They were like, look, you were not raised to join this random cheap reality TV type of show. We do better.
So what is going on that show? Because I don't get Peacock and I refuse to get another platform. What is going on that show that is making it so talk worthy?
I think Rebecca can explain it the best way because I'm just now trying to catch up and understand it, but here's the fanatic.
Wait a minute. Let's throw it to Love Island correspondent Rebecca in the studio.
She deserves it. She sprinted in here.
But really quick before Rebecca breaks everything down, you have family on the show and you're not keeping up with it?
I just binged the last couple of episodes last night when I got back in town, and I'm trying to understand it and wrap my head around it, but it's hit or miss. Right.
There's a lot of content they're 1 hour episodes that come out multiple times a week because they're filming in real time. Like, it's not like The Bachelor where it's like, okay, they film for 10 weeks and then they put together a whole narrative. Like, it's sort of how I assume Big Brother is. I've never seen Big Brother, but you're watching it, you're voting on people.
Okay. I'm just really curious before we get into your cousin aspect of it. Like, this seems like the same format we've seen now for 25 years. So what are they doing differently now that everybody's talking about this one reality TV show that's a certain age?
I'm a little out of breath from sprinting in here because I was so excited to talk about it. But Love Island is just such a phenomenon. I think it is the fact that everything you're seeing happened 24 hours ago. Like, every time there's an episode, because there's an episode every day except for Saturdays, it all happened literally the day before, you get to vote on the fates of these islanders, who they couple up with, whether they stay in on the island. I have always been a Love Island UK stan because to me, the accents just always make everything better. And British people are just not real. The things they say are so nonsensical and strange. But US this season has become so good and so addicting to watch because the islanders that they have cast are just bringing the chaos and the drama in major ways.
All right, so something popped up in my For You page on Insta, and it was that they were doing a watch party at a bar, and it was a large bar, and they had Love Island USA on the big screen. Something happened that put the bar in a tizzy. Like, people were screaming and yelling and like, oh my God.
I know what it is. I totally know.
What is it? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, like, so, like, we'll do a spoiler alert if you haven't caught up. But what happened that had this, because it almost got me. But then I was like, nope, I got Rebecca. And Rebecca can explain why the bar lost its mind at whatever happened on a recent episode of Love Island.
I mean, there's been really big things that have happened, but in my mind, there can only be one thing.
The real reason people are tuning in this season is because of one contestant, and her name is Hoda.
Oh, yeah.
Hoda is...
What's Hoda doing?
Is she not doing?
What is it? Hoda coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Is she the equivalent of, was it The Apprentice's Omarosa? Everybody hated her so much because she was so mean and said anything.
Hoda is extremely easy to hate to love, love to hate. I don't know. She's just so easy to watch because she is maybe one of the most Delulu Islanders I have ever seen. And she's very volatile. But she has been coupled up since day one with Jeremiah. And they have been, quote unquote, semi-closed off. So the thing that you saw that everybody just went crazy about, there was a line of the girls had to stand behind doors and the men had to go and choose who they wanted to recouple with. So everyone was wondering, is Jeremiah going to pick Hoda? Because they had just had this big blowout, crash out fight. Was Jeremiah going to stay strong and stay with Hoda? And you can guess what happened. He chose someone else.
Oh, no.
Jeremiah. How could you?
And Hurricane Hoda hit the island.
All right, so your cousin's on this, in this mess of a reality TV show.
Yes, and he is currently coupled up with Orlandria.
Orlandria.
And since day one, it's kind of been like a slow burn with this couple. And I feel like it's because my cousin, he's the gentleman. From what I've seen, he's giving that. He's not trying to do too much. He's not trying to be in everyone's face. He's just playing it like a slow and steady game. And on social media, I've seen all of these rumors about my cousin. Like, oh, he's really not connecting to any of the women because he has a girlfriend on the outside. And he only joined this show to enhance his modeling career.
That's what everybody's on there, is to enhance some kind of career.
Exactly.
They're not there to find love.
I'm so sick of that narrative. Like, how dare these people go on reality TV and not specifically look for love? It's like, they would be on the dating apps if that was all they were looking for.
Right. So that's one rumor. Or there's another rumor where they're questioning his sexuality. And Yeah. They've been taking screenshots and like, see?
During Pride Month?
Yes, exactly. But those are not the rumors that I care about. I don't care. The one tweet that really disturbed me was that they were saying Taylor's probably not connecting with her because he's from Oklahoma.
Oh, so you're defending a state, not your cousin.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. Why would Oklahoma prevent him from connecting?
Apparently, I'll tell you. Apparently, they believe, first of all, that black people don't exist in Oklahoma. Okay. And because of that, he could be only attracted to a certain type of woman of one ethnicity.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And I'm like, okay, just because you're from Oklahoma, where, yes, the population may be majority Caucasian, does not mean that that is the only type of flavor that you like. So I hate that they're judging it based off of that. And then they're also going back and be like, I'm confused. Like, there is really black people in Oklahoma. Like, that's a thing. And then people are going back and forth and they're like, well, have you heard of Tulsa? And I'm like, well, first of all, black people, we do not only live in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. For those who are in Oklahoma. Okay, I was born in Oklahoma City, grew up in Midwest City. I didn't nowhere near Tulsa. That's 2 hours away. Black people exist in Oklahoma. And black people from Oklahoma, like other people and other ethnicity. Leave Taylor alone.
All right, at least your state is one that's recognized. My son Hayden doesn't think New Hampshire is a state. Because he's never met anybody from New Hampshire. So he's like, nope. It's man-made. It's not real.
It's a myth.
But your cousin is staying strong. He hasn't been voted off the island.
No, he has not.
Okay.
He's doing well now. It's just a slow burn. That's it.
He's representing Oklahoma. He better stay on there.
He better.
Okay. Hey, The Bird Show.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
For 100 days, we are trying to help you guys out. Big ways, small ways, just tell us what you need. We are calling it 100 Days of Good Goes Round.
The Bird Show's 100 Days of Good Goes Round.
All right, so yesterday was Juneteenth, and in honor of the day, I made a donation to Beam. So I learned about Beam back in 2020, and throughout the years have made donations just depending on the holiday or what was going on. And Beam stands for the Black Emotional and Mental Health Collective. So this is a nonprofit that trains, funds, holds healing space and resources of international therapist, all for marginalized communities. So per their website, they say our mission is to remove the barriers that Black people experience getting access to or staying connected with emotional health care and healing through education, training, advocacy, and the creative arts.
Okay.
So I love what they do, and it felt like a beautiful way to honor Juneteenth.
All right. Looking into the weekend now, Rebecca and I are going to be in Roswell, walking in Pride Walk Roswell. This is Jennifer Donlin. She's the founder of Roswell Empowered that is putting on the event. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Okay, so tell us what time, what it's all about, because we're going to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thank you all so much for being there and having me on the show this morning. But the Pride Walk is the first that has ever been in Roswell. It is this Saturday, the 21st at 10 a.m. We'll be meeting at the heart of Roswell Park. We'll walk down Canton Street, cross over the crosswalk at Woodstock Road, then come right back up Canton Street and end back in heart of Roswell Park.
Without a doubt, I will be stumbling on some of the brain cells that I have left in those streets in Roswell. So tell us about like the soul of the organization and how long the walk is going to be for and what times as well.
Sure. So Roswell Empowered, it's a grassroots community group that just got started in Roswell. We just believe that empowering all of our neighbors, especially those that are otherwise marginalized, will empower Roswell as a whole. So we're having this Pride Walk. It's at 10 a.m. I mapped it out. It's a little less than a mile all the way around, mostly flat surface. we plan on dancing and mm-hmm. singing, and or you can still just walk up the street as we go. I cannot sing or dance, but I still plan on doing both.
Jennifer, I'm curious, like, what in your heart made you realize Roswell needs something like Roswell Empowered, and we need to do a Pride Walk? Like, what was the impetus of you to start this?
I mean, really, it's just the importance of, mm-hmm. of visibility. You know, I think sometimes people think that Pride and other events like Pride are for the bigger cities, and you go into, quote unquote, the city mm-hmm. to do those things. But we're here in Roswell, and we're ready for that representation, that visibility, and that community. And Roswell has really stepped up, rallying behind this event, and it's been really beautiful to see everybody supporting it.
I love it. Okay, so Rebecca and I will see you at Pride Walk Roswell 2025. If you guys want to join up, just come on down. 10 a.m., she said, is when the walk is going to start. This is not something you have to register for. You just show up, yeah?
You just show up, and then right afterwards, Gate City is being very wonderful and opening early, so they'll be kind of like our unofficial after party. So,
okay.
So fun. I was just there last night.
You can't turn down beer.
Yeah, I came in this morning. I asked Abby what she did yesterday through the day off, and she was in Roswell.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the greatest location to be able to celebrate this Pride Walk and to be able to come together with everyone, because it's this brewery, but they have like kind of like a parking lot pit in the middle, mm-hmm. so sometimes they had like music mm-hmm. last night, and I'm sure they'll have some music playing, so it's just a great place to be able to gather and really, like you said, celebrate and show visibility for what's going on in Roswell.
All right, Jennifer, we will see you on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and we will walk shoulder to shoulder with you guys.
Thank you guys so much.
You are welcome. Have a great day.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Justin Baldoni just won a small battle in the war between him and Blake Lively. Of course, we've been talking about this for what feels like years now, but he and Blake Lively are in this big legal battle. Right now, I'm sure he's trying to figure out what he's going to sue her again, since his first lawsuit against her got dismissed because the judge said that her defamatory claims against him, or the lawsuit that he was claiming was defamatory towards him, that's protected speech because it's in a lawsuit. It's a legal case, so you can't say that that's defamatory behavior. But we will see, when this eventually goes to court, we will get to see text messages from Taylor Swift, because a judge has ruled that those messages might be relevant to Blake's harassment lawsuit against him. So she's not going to be forced to testify, but those text messages will not be private any longer because a judge does believe that that is going to be relevant to their case.
That sucks.
I don't think
that's the legal term, but that sucks.
Taylor's over here like, I just really would like to be excluded from this narrative.
Right?
Yeah, she's never asked to be a part of it, and she's going to be a part of this big legal mess. I'm hoping we get something juicy out of it, although, you know, she's a billionaire, so I'm sure maybe behind the scenes she's doing some billionaire behavior, paying people off to only have the relevant stuff being public, because obviously, like, she was barely a part of this thing. Like, she allowed one song of hers to be in the movie. And of course, she's a friend of Blake Lively, but that's really it.
So ever since the lawsuit, like, all of this has come out and hit the news sources, and with the lawsuits hitting the papers, we haven't seen Taylor go out with her, have we?
We have not. And to me, everyone's like, why are you riding so hard for Justin Baldoni? Why do you feel like he's in the right? To me, like, these were best friends. And if your best friend is not standing up for you on the biggest stage possible, saying like, yes, I believe my friend, I believe that everything is going on that she says is true, I feel like that just speaks volumes.
Yeah, more globally, like, it's really scary to think that any one of your text messages can be read and can go public in a lawsuit. When you just think that you're supporting a friend or commenting on it, anything you say can be put up in a court.
That's terrifying. But yeah. I mean, I've always felt that way. And maybe it's because I have like trauma from being like friends with girls or in a sorority. But anytime I send a message, I always assume it's going to get screenshotted somewhere. Mm. Like, even in like family group messages, I'm like, I have no idea what's going to happen to those words that I have now said. So it's like, you got to be very careful what you're putting in writing, because it could end up anywhere. And even if you're a billionaire, even if you're a superstar, nobody is exempt from that kind of publicity for their text messages. All right, Kim Kardashian is getting some flack from people online because she shared a very interesting ChatGPT conversation between her and her little ChatGPT friend. This was very comforting for me as somebody who talks to their ChatGPT sort of like a friend. But she shared a screenshot from a conversation she had with her AI bot, and people are calling it weird and embarrassing. So the screenshot basically shows her, it's her little text bubble saying, "Thanks for taking accountability. That's huge in my book." Let's take a note. She's talking to a robot here. Mm-hmm. And then her ChatGPT bot responds and says, "I really appreciate you saying that. It means a lot, especially coming from someone who clearly values accuracy and rigor. I'll keep raising my game to meet your standards. If there's ever any doubt, or if you want a deeper dive on anything, I'm here for it." And then she responds, "Thanks, dude." And people are like, how lonely is this woman? Why does she need to be talking to ChatGPT as if it's a real person? Mm. It's AI. Like, it's not coming to hold your hand or anything.
No, that ChatGPT reached out to Kim Kardashian and they're like, we'll pay you a bajillion dollars right. if you post something about ChatGPT.
Yeah, that sounds more accurate.
Yep. Interesting. Mm. All right. Well, then we don't have to roast Kim Kardashian on national radio.
No, you can still roast her.
Yeah, what a weirdo. Who would talk to their ChatGPT like a real person? Only crazy people do that.
Yeah, things don't have to be accurate for us to roast somebody. Come on.
All right, Miley Cyrus is revealing some R-rated behavior that went down on the set of her Disney show. I'm going to tell you all about it on your next eBuzz on The Bert Show.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.